Turn your Bibles to Jonah in chapter 1 this morning. Jonah chapter 1. There's a lot going on here today. And I feel excited and I feel grateful. And I trust that you just sense the Spirit of the Lord in this place. And God is so good to our church to meet with us on a weekly basis. He's so good to give us a pastor and the life that he's given to him and restored his life and brought him through this valley. And it does our heart good just to see you here, and I know it's a blessing for the church, and we praise the Lord for that. Jonah chapter 1 this morning, we started a series. I felt like, I know I'll have several opportunities to preach, and I felt like the Lord just directed me to this book recently, and just some lessons from Jonah, the unyielded prophet. And what a blessing, because God would take Jonah and allow him later in his life. He would give him the grace to be able to restore him. He would do the work that God would eventually call him to do and then write this book to us afterwards. Writing it in the third person, but just to help to give us some lessons that he would have us to learn. And I'm thankful for God's grace today. I'm thankful for God's grace upon Jonah, that he would take an unyielded prophet, finally turn his heart towards God, and then God would use him to do greater things, to give us a book of the Bible. So if you stand this morning, if you're able to, we're going to read Jonah in chapter 1. And just one verse for our text this morning, Jonah chapter 1 and verse 3. The Bible says there, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." I just want to preach a message very simply titled, Jonah on the Run, Jonah on the Run. Let's pray and then you can be seated. Lord, we are so grateful for the opportunity that we have had to be here today. Lord, there's just so much goodness that we've experienced this morning. Lord, it's been a blessing to hear from our pastor and just to see him and hear the work that you're doing in his life, Lord. We're so happy as a church we'd have the opportunity to honor he and Mrs. Tidd and, Lord, their faithful service here. And what a testimony to us and what an encouragement to us. Lord, we're thankful for the music and the fellowship that we've already had. Lord, we're thankful that we can open up your word and that we can preach from it, Lord. And I desire you to just do that, Lord. I really have nothing on my own to say, Lord, that without your help would be beneficial. And so, Lord, I desire you to come down and fill me and use me and help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning to get exactly what we would have need of in this place. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. I was thinking about my first job as I was preparing for this message this morning. I was a teenager. I think I was in 9th or 10th grade, and my first job was working on the custodial staff of the Cleveland Baptist Church. And my first boss was a man by the name of Ken Williams. Now, Ken Williams, he was a man's man. He was broad-shouldered. He was strong as an ox. There wasn't really anything he couldn't do. He was sort of, they say, the jack of all trades, and he kind of would do a lot of maintenance there. But he had given his retirement years to oversee 4 teenage boys that were responsible for cleaning the building. And I'll just tell you, that was a calling from God in and of itself. And us boys, 2 of us were in 9th grade, 2 of us were in 10th grade. And I remember as teenagers, and I probably shouldn't tell on myself, but there were times we weren't exactly as diligent as we should have been. And I remember that we would work full-time in the summer, and Mr. Williams, he would meet with us, he'd give us a list of responsibilities, what we were going to accomplish that day, and he'd go off and do some work on his own. And there were times that we took self-imposed breaks, you know. We might go to the nursery, and we might try to shut off the lights and close the door and take a break there and hope he wouldn't find us. And I'm telling you, it probably happened more often than not. Those were the times that Mr. Williams would walk in the door. And I'm telling you, as kids, or as teenagers, we had this thought. We thought that Mr. Williams lived in the walls of the church. Honestly, I'm not kidding you. Because he always appeared when it was time for us to goof off, you know. And maybe we did that more often than we should have. But that was always our mindset. I remember, you know, as I was thinking back about that, we were of the mindset, there is no escaping the presence of Ken Williams. No matter what we do, wherever we go, we cannot goof off. And that's a good thing, by the way. And as we think about that, the boss that I had there. And yet, it's amazing as we read this passage of Scripture that Jonah, the prophet of God, would attempt to flee from the presence of the Lord. And yet, as we think of it, it's somewhat of a negative connotation, at least here in Jonah's life. He's trying to get away from that. Can I tell you, it's a great positive in our life that for the child of God, our mindset would be that we would never escape the presence of God in our lives. And we can never find ourselves in a place in which God was not there as long as we're willing to yield to him. And so last week we introduced Jonah, the unyielded prophet. God, of course, had called him to go to Nineveh and to take the word of God. It was a message of sin and repentance there that Jonah was to preach to Nineveh. It was a very wicked city. And yet we find that Jonah had exercised his free will. He begins to board a ship headed to Tarshish, attempting to flee from the presence of God. And I want to tell you, verse 3, I believe it reveals Jonah's flawed mindset of an almighty God. It reveals that Jonah had wrong thinking about God. Listen, I want you to understand, if God had called Jonah to go to Nineveh, that's the very best thing Jonah could have done. God could have taken him there, and listen, God would have used him in amazing ways. And the fact that he runs from God shows his flawed mindset in an almighty God who desires to do anything through our lives that he calls us to accomplish for him. I want you to understand this morning that a tool that Satan uses in our lives is doubt. When God calls us to something, when God brings us through a trial, sometimes Satan would have us to doubt who God is, what God can accomplish in our lives. Listen, I think one of the things that Satan did for Jonah there is that he would cause him to doubt God's power, God's presence, and God's ability to do what God had called Jonah to accomplish. You see, the Bible reveals that we serve an all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God. That's the God that we serve. A God who will call us to something and then desires to use us to accomplish what he's called us to. That's the story that we see here. And listen, can I tell you, it should have been easy for Jonah to yield to God. Knowing who God was, knowing what God could accomplish in his life, it should have been easy for him to yield to God, and it ought to be easy for you and I to yield to God. When he calls us to something, listen, God calls us to step out in faith in our lives. It ought to be easy. Do we not have a Bible that reveals who our God is? What he's able to accomplish in our lives? Listen, one of the easiest things for the child of God ought to be yielding to God. And yet I think about in my own life, how many times has God called me to something? How many times has God pricked your heart to do something? And we say, God, that sounds a little bit difficult. We attempt to do things our own way, only to make a mess out of things. And then come back to God and say, God, can you fix this now? I think about Jonah and the whale. God, can you fix this now? I'm in a whale here. Can you help me? Think about that. If you would have just done what I called you to do in the first place, you wouldn't find yourself there. And yet one of the lessons that God would use Jonah to teach us is that we simply need to have faith in an almighty God to accomplish what he has called us to accomplish. Again, God would use Jonah to write this book to us and to teach us some lessons. Can I tell you, I want to pull out three quick things this morning from this passage. First of all, I believe that this passage or the story of Jonah reveals God's omnipresence. That word omnipresent means present in all places at the same time. Jonah desired to run from the presence of God, and he found out very quickly he could not outrun the presence of God. What a great blessing for us to understand that we have a God who is present in all places at the same time. The Bible says he is from everlasting to everlasting. That's the God that we serve. The Bible says here in verse 3 that Jonah attempted to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. If you begin to look on a map, Nineveh would have been east of Israel. Tarshish would have been west of Israel. Nineveh was about 500 miles east. Tarshish was about 2,500 miles west. It was at the southern tip of what we know now as Spain. But more importantly than the mileage distance, it's believed that Tarshish was the westernmost point in the known world at that time. Nothing had been discovered beyond where Tarshish was to the west of there. Of course, the rest of Europe hadn't been discovered. The Americas hadn't been discovered. And what we find out is that very specifically, Jonah had chosen the literal end of the earth to flee to. He said, I'm going to get as far away from the land of Israel that I can get to where the presence of God abides in the land of Israel. Can I tell you, in his small thinking, He failed to take into account that his God was the creator God of all the universe. Not only had God created Tarshish, he had created the entire universe. He showed small thinking in an almighty God and his presence that is everywhere. And again, while this might be somewhat of a negative and we would say, Jonah, why would you try to flee from the presence of the Lord? Can I tell you, for the Christian today, this is very much a positive thing. I'm thankful this morning that we serve a God who is not limited by geographical locations. I'm thankful that we serve a God that's not limited by dimensions or by time or by space. We serve a God who is everywhere and in the same place at the same time. I want you to turn over to Psalms chapter 139 this morning. Psalms chapter 139. The psalmist David would write this psalm, and it's really a psalm of praise. There's so much in Psalm 139. We just have a few moments to just look at a few verses. The Bible says in verse 7, David writing this, he says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." We serve an incredible God who can be with us no matter where we are, no matter what kind of situation that we find ourselves in. Listen, I'm thankful for a God who did not need to pay boat fare to travel along with Jonah. I'm thankful for a God that could go right alongside of him and be anywhere that Jonah was. Can I tell you, for the Christian, it's a great comfort to know and experience God's presence in trouble no matter where I might find myself. Listen, one of the blessings of the job that I get to do is we get to go pray with people before surgery. I think it's a wonderful thing that I can stand there at the side of a bed of someone that's getting ready to be wheeled into surgery. Listen, the family has to stay in that room. The pastor cannot go back in that room with them, but I'm thankful that they can take the presence of an almighty God with them into that room. God is not affected by that sign on the operating room wall that says, "Medical staff only, please don't enter." Listen, I tell you, what a great presence, or what a great blessing to know the presence of God in our time of need. I think about it when our kids were very small. There were times in which they were somewhat afraid of the dark and they wouldn't want to go to bed. And I remember sometimes they would say, "Dad, can we please sleep in your room tonight? Don't want to go to our room and sleep where it's dark." We taught them this verse. We taught them, "In what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Because while mom and dad might be in another room and while a wall might separate us from them, we wanted them to understand that they could experience and feel the presence of God where they were. I think about our missionaries today. Listen, isn't it a blessing? What a God that we have that can meet with us here today, but can meet in thousands of other churches around the world today. What a God that we have, that the need that you have this morning and the message that you have need of, God can minister in your heart and someone else in the very same room. They may have a different need and God can minister in their heart and God can help them. Listen, what a great mindset, or what a great blessing to know that we have a God who can be everywhere. Listen, it is time for us to grow our mindset about who God is and what he's called us to accomplish. You may have come in this morning. You may be lonely. You may be in the midst of a trial and you really can't talk about it with other people. They may not know what's going on. Maybe the details are somewhat private right now. Can I tell you, we have a God, the Bible says, who will never leave us nor forsake us. You can experience God's presence right in the midst of the difficulty that you currently find yourself in simply by yielding to him. I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 16. Acts in chapter 16, God gives us an incredible prescription for experiencing his presence in our difficulty. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas had been thrown into a Philippian jail. They had been thrown in that jail for preaching about the one and only Jesus Christ. The Bible says they were in that jail in verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Amen. Listen, they didn't care. Think about that. They'd just been thrown into prison for preaching about God. And they lifted up their voices there in the midnight hour. And they prayed to God and they praised God because they realized, listen, God is not incapable of coming into this jail cell. And the Bible says they experienced the presence of God there in verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Can I tell you this morning, prescription for experiencing God's presence in your time of difficulty? Prayer to God and praise to God. Amen. Ushering yourself into the presence of an almighty God, no matter where you are. It might be a hostile work situation. Prayer to God and praise to God. You might find yourself in a hospital. Prayer to God and praise to God. Listen, no matter where we find ourselves in, we can yield to the presence of God, to an omnipresent God. Next, second thing I want you to see here from this passage, not only does this story reveal God's omnipresence, but it reveals God's omniscience. That word omniscient means having a universal knowledge or knowing all things. Like, what is best for God's child? Isn't it interesting that God called Jonah to do something and Jonah felt like he knew what was best for his life? He attempts to flee from the presence of God. He attempted to chart his own course. I wonder how many times in my life I've attempted to chart my own course. God's pricked my heart. He said, I want you to do this. And I said, no, God, I have better plans. And yet we find from the story of Jonah that God's plans are always the best plans. God's plan was for Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah's plans for him to go to Tarshish. Listen, the Bible reveals in chapter 4 Jonah's thinking. In verse three, or in chapter 3, we see the nation the city of Nineveh turn back to God. The Bible says in verse 10 of chapter 3, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now look at chapter 4 and verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. The prophet of God is upset that a nation is getting right with God. Look what he says in verse 2. He says, and he prayed to the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? I knew you were going to do this, God. Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth thee of the evil. Isn't it amazing the way that Jonah is speaking to God? God, you should have listened to me. I knew you were going to come down and save these people. Isn't it amazing sometimes the way we think and the way we talk to God? God, timing on this really isn't the timing that I expected it to be. This situation really wasn't the situation that I would have picked if I was in charge. We think about the way that we talk to God or even the way we pray to God. God, you know I've been praying about this for 20 years. And you still have not answered according to my thoughts and my ways. Listen, can we understand this morning that God's thoughts and God's ways are always perfect? No matter what trial we might find ourselves in, you may have received difficult news recently. God's ways and his thoughts are always perfect. I want to read to you from Isaiah in chapter 55 this morning. Isaiah in chapter 55, let me read it very quickly and you can look it up later. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. What a great blessing to understand that we serve an omniscient God who his ways and his thoughts are always perfect. Listen, Jonah thought opposite of the way that God was working and he ran from God. What's your response when God works differently than what you expected? What's your response when God brings a trial in your life, when you just simply knew that God was just going to work this thing out in a certain way and God didn't work it out that way? What's our response in those times? Do we yield to an all-knowledgeable God? Or like Jonah, do we get upset with God? Begin to yield to ourselves and to our thinking. I want you to turn to Hosea chapter 14 and verse 9. I want to read a very quick passage of scripture in Hosea in chapter 14 in verse 9. The Bible says there, who is wise and he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. Listen, the best thing that Jonah could have done, God calls him to go to Nineveh. The best thing Jonah could have done is simply walk in the ways of the Lord, doing what God would desire to have him to accomplish, understanding that God has an infinite knowledge of all things, understanding that God's ways are perfect. Can I tell you, usually when God does this, it requires a step of faith. Jonah going to Nineveh, that's a huge step of faith. This is an enemy of Israel. Do you realize Jonah could have been imprisoned or worse, killed for preaching the word of God to the Ninevites? It was a step of faith, and it would have been a step of faith for him to go to Nineveh. Listen, we understand Paul and Silas praying and singing praises in the jail. That's a step of faith. And I want you to understand this morning, we can either be small-minded about who our God is and what he desires for us to accomplish, or we can step out in faith, yielding to him and understanding his omniscience, that his ways are the best ways. Finally, this morning, and very quickly, the story of Jonah not only reveals these things, but it also reveals God's omnipotence. Listen, we serve a God who is unlimited in power. You go back to the book of Jonah, and you see God's hand upon Jonah time after time, and it's a display of God's power. Listen, we see God's power in the storm in verse 4 of chapter 1, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. Listen, these mariners, they were professional seafaring men. They had been out in storms before, but they realized there's something supernatural about this storm. They went to their gods, their false gods, to try to calm this storm. I'm just simply saying, listen, we see the power of God in the storm. We see the power of God in verse 17, and God preparing a great fish, the Bible says, to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. We see the power of God and God using that fish to spit Jonah out on dry land 3 days later. We see the power of God in a citywide revival in chapter 3 and verse 5. The Bible says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. That's remarkable what God did in that city. A revival that probably has never been experienced since that time. An entire city, listen, every one of them from the greatest to the least, getting their hearts right with God. It's the power of God time and time again. Listen, can I tell you, I believe one of the themes of Jonah's life from this point forward would be this. I serve a God who can do all things. Amen. I serve a God who can do all things. I believe one of the themes of Jonah's book that he would write to us is the theme of God's unlimited power and that God can do all things. And I want you to think in your life. Go back and look at what God has brought you through. Go look and see how God has woven the path of your life to bring you to today and how God has been there for you time and time again and how God has brought you through trial after trial. And listen, just like the theme of Jonah's life ought to be the unlimited power of God, the theme of your life and my life today ought to be we serve a God who can do all things. If God calls us to something, we ought to just simply yield to him because we know what he can do. Imagine if Jonah simply would have yielded to God's power in the first place. I read a story recently and had to deal with the Tournament of Roses parade on New Year's Day in Pasadena, California. Years ago, there was a vehicle afloat that was traveling in that parade, and along the parade route, it began to sputter, and then the engine died. Very quickly determined that that float was out of fuel. So someone went and got a gas can and hurried up and ran it to that vehicle and put the gas in there. The only problem is they had held up everyone behind them on the parade route. The amusing thing about this is that this float represented the Standard Oil Company. A company who had unlimited reserves of fuel. Out of all those floats, that should not have been the one to run out of fuel. And yet I think about this morning, even though Christians have access to God's unlimited power, if we don't avail ourselves to it, we will not accomplish what he's called us to accomplish. The story of Jonah reveals a prophet of God with a small mindset of what God can do in his life. I think one of the lessons that Jonah would have us to realize this morning, don't be small-minded about your God. Realize we serve an ever-present, all-knowing, all-powerful God. I don't know what God is doing in your life right now. I don't know what he's working through right now. But no doubt about it, he's saying, yield to me. Just yield to me. He may be calling you to take an incredible step of faith. Just yield to God. He may have you in a very low valley right now. You can experience God's presence in that valley by simply yielding to him. He may be directing you somewhere and you're saying, God, I don't know about this. I don't know if that's the best plan for my life. God, why don't you come around to my way of thinking? And instead, God's saying to us, no, it's time for you to come around to my way of thinking. You see, we serve a God who can do all things. May we not be small-minded about what God can do in our lives. Let's learn to yield to him in faith so that we might accomplish all that he has for us to accomplish. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. We serve a God who can do all things. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know how God may have used this message in your life. But there's no doubt that God just desires that we would simply yield to him in faith. Knowing that he desires to accomplish something in our lives. Listen, God may be calling you this morning into a very, very difficult trial. You need to know you can experience the presence of God in that trial. God may be calling you to do something that would be a step of faith, and you need to realize that God's ways are the best ways. You may need a touch of God's power today. God says, I have unlimited power. Lord, as we come before you today, Lord, I pray that you would do in our hearts and our lives that which you desire to do in our lives. Lord, I pray that as Christians we would simply be yielded to you, that we would be willing to step out in faith in those times of life that you have called us to step out in faith. Lord, that we would realize that step of faith really is just trusting in what you desire to accomplish in our lives. Lord, we love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen.